I wonder if Mr. Amen is still in the house. I wonder if Mr. Glory is still in the house. I wonder if Mr. Hallelujah is in the house. Can you say glory three times? Can you say amen with fire? Woo! Amazing, amazing. Glory be to God. Man. That is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Revival is a period of uncommon supernatural visitation producing radical changes in the spiritual and natural lives of the believers. The salvation of the lost, usually transforming communities, cities, and nations morally, socially, and even economically. Somebody say, do it again. Somebody say, do it through me. Use me, Lord. Listen, you cannot revive something that has never had life. Hello? So, revival by definition is first of all an enlivening and quickening and awakening of exhausted, sleeping, almost spiritually dead church members. Suddenly, the power of the Spirit comes upon them and they are brought to a new and more profound awareness of the truth that they previously held intellectually and perhaps at a deeper level too. They are humble, they are convicted of sin, and they are alarmed at themselves. Many of them feel they have never been Christians. And they come to see the great salvation of God in all its glory and feel its power. Then as a result of their quickening and reviving, they begin to pray. New power come into the preachings of ministers. And the result of this is that large numbers who were previously outside of the church are converted and brought in. Somebody say, do it again. Just raise your hand and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. Tonight, Lord, I'm asking you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus. I command them to leave this place. And I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do and take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Can you bend with a shout and say amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. We started this message this morning. We're going to try to close it out today if we can. And so the scripture I didn't get to this morning was 1 Samuel chapter 1. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb, and her revival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. And one of the scriptures we read this morning as well was Luke chapter 18, where Jesus said men, that includes women, men and women always ought to pray without losing heart, losing heart. That word losing heart in the Greek is oligocycles. One translation also say without fainting, without fainting. So without becoming oligocycles, without becoming small on the inside. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, where we do not know how to pray because of our weakness. 8:26, because of our weakness. That word weakness is translated asthenia. It's translated infirmity, but it also means, weakness also means, somebody say, the inability to produce results. Somebody say, the inability to produce results. So it says the Spirit will help. That word help in the Greek is translated sonantelabanai. It's pronounced sonantelabanai. Sonantelabano. It means to come together. Somebody said to come together. Come together against. Somebody said to come together against. That's sonantelabano in the Greek. Come together against. It's very important to make note of the etymology of those words. They will bear into the message today as we close it and bring this home. It's very important. We need revival. Hello? And by the way, all the books that we brought on revival are sold out. If you want to order, you know, a copy of this book, you can go on our website. You can get a hard copy. If you want a Kindle version, you can do it on Amazon. It's very important that we really grasp this concept. I really believe, you know, in the front of the book, there's a wave. There's a wave of a tsunami, the wave of a tsunami. And the Lord gave this to me. There's a wave that is coming. Thank you for your support. I said there's a wave that is coming. We are on the cusp, on the edge of an outpouring. It's coming. And just like the surfer is going for the biggest wave, getting the surfboard, I think we have to be prepared for what's coming. Amen. Because if you're not prepared, you're going to be squashed by it. Because it's going to affect everything. But I believe we're in a season of preparation. And when the pressure of preparation, come on, when preparation meets opportunity, destiny is born. The pressure of preparation will bring the pressure of participation. When you get ready, God is going to use you. Amen? So we've been talking about revival. We talked this morning, we define revival, and we talk about the three kinds of revival. Revival must be personal. Somebody say personal. Yeah, it has to be personal before it becomes corporate. All right? So we said the first type of revival was personal revival. Second type of revival was what we call micro, M-I-C-R-O, a smaller group of people. All right? God gives us revival in a seed form. As we continue to develop it with our hunger and prayer, it's going to spread into a bigger area. And then the third type of revival is regional. You know, that's where the awakening takes place. Revival is for the church, but the awakening is for the community. I thank you for your support. Some people come to church to pontificate. Some people come to church to spectate. Thank you for your support. Some people come to church to speculate, but God is looking for some people that will come to participate. I hope tonight is not going to be one of those services where the rocks are going to have to cry out. I can hear them there in the parking lot trying to come in, but we're not going to let them come out here. We are going to say amen. I wonder if Mr. Amen is in the building. All right, let me refrain it again for the hearing impaired. Revival is for the church, but the awakening is for the community. Hello? And the awakening takes place when the root of a revived church has sink deep into the community and the light of the gospel start to overturn corruption in institution, overturn powers that subjugate territories. Do you realize that power, that territories are oppressed on three levels? Number one, there's demonization. Somebody said demonization. Oh, yes. Demonization. Secondly, doctrines of demons. A lot of things that you think that the world has become crazy. Some of the things that you see happening in our culture today. Doctrines of demon. You know, no pun intended. I'm not going to go there. But you know, you can read between the line. Hello? Next is principalities, princes in palaces, controlling and affecting municipality by controlling personality. In other words, what I'm trying to say, people in high positions of power, whether that be government or whatever you have, institution, that have a demonic power influencing them to push a demonic agenda. Hello? Listen, all the decisions, all the influence in the world, everything in our life is affected and controlled by about 3% of people in the elite community that makes all the decisions that affect you and I. Hello? So that's why as a church, you got to start to really have a vision to pray for your community, not just for the church, but people in high position in government and other places. Because they have the power to make decisions that affect all of us. We are affected by the decision of only 3% of the elites. So you have princes in palaces controlling municipality by affecting personality. And God has given the church the antidote for those dynamics of power in territory. So territories are oppressed on three levels. Number one, doctrines of demons. Number one, demonization. Number two, doctrines of demons. Number three, principalities and powers. The antidote to demonization is the authority of the believer. I wonder if Mr. Amen is still in the building. I thank you for your enthusiasm. As a church, we are not a liability to our community. We are an asset to our community. Come on, they are power shifting event. Revival is a power shifting event. They are power shifting principles. Come on. And when we as a church learn how to apply power pushing principle, we begin to push the power and the light of the gospel begin to overturn corruption in institution and overturn power that subjugate territories. The antidote to demonization is the authority of the believer. Somebody shout, I have been given authority over it. Say over it. And say, when I know that I have been given authority over it, it knows it. And when it knows it, it must do what I say. I can push the power in the name of Jesus. Somebody, there's a teaching out there that's powerful. Stretch your hand and say, push the power. We are supposed to push the power. Hello? I say we are supposed to push the power. Don't sit here, because if you sit here and take on and allow the enemy to take an inch, he's going to take a meter. He's going to take a mile. Hello? But you got to push back. I said you got to have some pushback in you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We are here to declare, glory be to God, that New York is not going to be surrendered to the devil. We're here to declare that Nanuet is for Jesus. These United States of America do not belong to the devil. They belong to God. And we can push the power with our prayer. We can push the power by speaking the word. We can push the power by praising God, because he dwells in the square footage of our praise. And we can give him an invitation for a visitation and change the visitation into an habitation and push back demonic power that are entrenched in territories. The antidote to doctrines of demons is a sound teaching of God's word. Hello? A lot of people believe strange things because they're not taught properly. You better thank the Lord that you're in a place where the word of God is being taught without apology. Come on. When it's not a politically correct church, come on, somebody, where you get the full gospel, the whole kit and caboodle, come on, somebody, where you allow the power of God to move, where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. The antidote to doctrines of demon is a sound preaching of the gospel. And the antidote to principalities and power are churches and group of churches over territory that are engaging the culture and making an avenue for the influence of God to begin to invade the different spheres of influence in our culture. In other words, the people are trained to go out there and bring the light of the gospel. Listen, I'm going to say it again. We are all controlled and affected by the decision of about 3% of the elite. What you call the cultural influencers. Hello? And so don't tell me that if God has called you in a ministry, all you have to do is go to Bible school and become a pastor or a preacher. Because that's not going to be enough. Thank God we need good pastors and good preachers. But we need people to engage in different spheres of the culture. We need spirit-filled lawyers. Come on, somebody. Spirit-filled congressmen. Come on, somebody. Spirit-filled senators. Come on, somebody. How about city managers? How about mayors in the local community? What about, come on, somebody, in every sphere, in the entertainment world, in the educational world, in the political world, in the economic world, we need people who fear God and that are in position of power so they can release the influence of God. But our paradigm has to change. And understand that's the way we bring regional transformation and awakening to the community. So now, having said all of this, I'm going to set you up because our case today, you know, I didn't get to it this morning. We are introduced to a woman that did just that. Somebody shout, she pushed the power. She brought a shift. Somebody say shift. You know, in Europe, they have these, manual transmission. Here, we drive mostly automatic transmission. In Europe, most of the cars are manual transmission. You know, I remember getting picked up in Germany by a pastor's son, and he had this BMW SUV, and he got on the Autobahn. You know, it's a version of a highway in Germany. There's no speed limit. Hello? So I watched this young kid press the pedal to the metal. We went over 100 miles. I said, brother, slow down. I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not ready to die. And I still have countries to go to, people to see, and some nice food to enjoy. I came to preach here in Germany. I didn't come to die here on the highway. He was like, this is nothing. Hello? They used to go fast. That's the way, and they don't have a lot of accidents over there. Everybody's disciplined. They drive fast. And I'm telling you, they drive fast. You see a car in your rearview mirror, before you know it, poof. And we drive to Germany all the time from Belgium. You know, we have a car there in Belgium in our base, and we drive to do meetings over there. And I'm telling you, that's one of the most interesting things. But the thing is, to go so fast, they shift, you know, first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, sixth gear. Your car can do that, but you don't see it. Hello? But you can see the person shift. And when there is a shift, the car goes faster and burn more energy. But it goes faster because of the momentum. What am I talking to you about driving in the Autobahn in Germany? What I'm trying to tell you is that there's a shift coming. There's a shift coming. There's a change. When this revival comes, it's going to shift everything. And I know sometimes when you look at the news and what's happening in these United States and around the world, listen, we're in war right now in Ukraine. We're preparing to host 25 refugees in our base in Belgium. We're working right now through some things that we have to get ready. It's this pain and suffering in the world. I'm not minimizing that. Hello? But what I'm trying to say to you is that in the middle of the when things are difficult, when things are hard, you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because God is still able. Hello? Now, I'm not here to advertise Hollywood. But how many of you watched The Karate Kid? There are at least 5 movies in the franchise, or more than that. The storyline of The Karate Kid is that, you know, as a young boy, for some reason that kid couldn't keep out of trouble. For some reason, he always attracted bullies, right? So on one particular episode, you know, and then Mr. Miyagi is this grandmaster that knew how to fight and all of that, that trained him to fight. So he fought his way through a karate world championship, right? And so what happened in one episode, he goes in the previous episode, he wins the fight by using a technique called the crane technique. Remember that? I don't know how long I could keep that foot off. So he uses the crane technique and he defeats the bully. But now he moves into a new situation in the next movie. But the new bully knew the old move. So when he tried to go crane technique, the bully grabbed his leg and broke it. Come on now. Now, this is the place where you stop eating your popcorn. Because it looks like it is over. And he almost got his other leg broken the second time. And as he stands there, he looked at his master in the stands. Mr. Miyagi is looking at him, but he's saying nothing. He pulls out of his pocket this paddle, this toy. And he has like two balls connected to a cord. And he's playing with it. And those balls are hitting the paddle on one side and the other. And that brought to the mind, to the memory of Daniel LaRusso, a move that they had practiced during practice that he had never used. And he began to behave like that paddle. He hit his opponent on the left. He hit him on the right. And standing on one leg, he won the fight. What's the point? America is standing on one leg. We had so many issues within this nation the last few years with COVID and what have you and everything else that is going on. But here's what I came to tell you tonight. God still has another move. I wonder if Mr. Amen is still. I said, God still has another move. Some of you, this is a prophetic message for you. You're standing on one leg financially. You're standing on one leg physically. You have received multiple diagnoses. They said you can't be healed. You won't be healed. You have to be medicated for the rest of your lives. I pray for a lady in France that was taking 52 pills a day and had a machine inside of her head and was still in pain. And they said that's the way she's going to live for the rest of her life until she show up in a miracle service and the power of God hit her and she was completely healed with no pain and she had to take no more pills. I'm here to tell you, God still has another move. Shout, it's miracle time. Shout, it's miracle time. Oh, the power of God can heal anything. If God can heal it, he can create a brand new body part. Eyes can be opened. Ears can be opened. Paralysis can be cured. Tumors can... A lady on the Afghanistan border, I was preaching there a few years ago, had 12 tumors on her neck and they disappeared miraculously. A woman in the Netherlands had no hair on the back of her head. The power of God touched her and her hair grew miraculously. A man in Texas was hit by a horse and had no eye. He had a prosthetic eye, a glass eye, and God healed him and he could see through the glass eye. Don't tell me God can do the impossible. He still has another move. I proclaim it is miracle time in Nanuet, New York. The power of God is not static, but it is dynamic. It can change and God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can bless you. God can open a door and God can turn it all around. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. I wonder if Mr. Amen is in the building. Hey! Zombrete. Mateke Bronde.
Zimbro tete shimbro. Kelebuski bambro teshkia.
The Lord will say to you, this is the hour where I'm raising up a new generation of people who will stand for my word. And I will speak through you, and I will do my wonders through you to bear witness to this generation. So don't hold back. Step forward. Don't be afraid. Trust in my word, and I will take you in new places, and I will show my glory through you. Maraskundese. Hallelujah. There's somebody in this building. You're getting healed right now. You may not see it. One of your leg is shorter than the other. I'm telling you, if you stand up right now, the power of God is healing you. Your back is getting healed. Your leg is getting healed right now in the name of Jesus. Don't be cute, because I can come over here right now and ask you to stand up. Stand up right now. The power of God. One of your leg is a little shorter than the other, and you have a problem with your back. The power of God is healing you. Stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you for not making me work hard. Begin to move your legs. You're getting healed. Your leg is growing right now in front of our eyes. I'm telling you, you are getting supernaturally healed. There's an operation of power and an administration of the Spirit. You're getting healed right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to move your legs like this. Just take a few steps. Your leg is growing. You are getting healed by the power of God. Both legs are getting, they're going to have the same side. That's how you're going to know it. You're going to be healed. And your back is getting healed. There's an alignment in your spine. There's a pinched nerve on your lower back that is getting healed right now. God still has another move. Come on, somebody. God still has another move. Hallelujah. Cyst in the ovary. Cyst in the ovary. Somebody, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I'm telling you, you have cysts in the ovary. You're getting healed right now. Those cysts are dissolving even as I speak. But if you're not of shame, just raise your hand right now to bear witness. The power of God over here. You're getting healed right now by the power of God. Take a deep breath. They're dissolving right now as I speak in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, God still has another move. Oh, yes. He still has another move. Glory be to God. I pray for a man in Iran that had 7 days to live with cancer. The power of God touched him, and he was completely healed and dismissed from the hospital. God still has another move. Shout new platform. Do you believe it? Shout new platform. New platform. New platforms, new money, new boldness, new relationship, new door. I'm prophesying already over you. You're not hearing it. I prophesy this year, new platform, new doors, new money, new relationship, new favor, because God still has another move. I don't know who I'm preaching to. A door was closed this past year, but God is opening a new door. Come on, somebody. For when one door closes, a bigger and a better door will open. Come on. But you got to learn how to hold God's hand as you move from the closed door into the new door. So don't lose your mind over the one that left you, because you're going to need your mind for the one that God is sending. Don't lose your mind over the lost business opportunity. You're going to need your mind for the new business that God is sending your way. God still has another move, but you got to learn how to push the power. Darkness may devastate, so a champion need to resonate, so dunamis will detonate. I dare you to shout glory 3 times. I'm already on you in your Kool-Aid. I know it. I'm stepping into your flavor right now. Now listen, the woman in our text today, let me bring this home. This woman, her name is Hannah. Somebody say Hannah. Her name means grace. Grace. In the original language, grace also means power beyond your own ability. Power beyond your own ability. Grace also means unmerited favor. Somebody say unmerited favor. But on top of that, the scripture takes the time to tell us that when the time came to bring offerings, that Elkanah, her husband, gave her a double portion. Somebody say double portion. Double means twice as much. So she has twice as much. So it's not a stretch to say she has twice as much favor, twice as much grace, twice as much power beyond her own ability. But here's the problem. It says that she couldn't have children. Hello? So the fruits in her life does not match the grace in her life. Somebody shout and say contradiction. The fruits in her life does not match the power in her life, does not match the favor in her life. Hello? And it doesn't help that she had her competition is mocking her. Somebody say frustration. This is the place where we have a lot of Christians living. How would you like to be in a place where your ministry does not match your anointing, where your ministry does not match your anointing? Your business result do not match your efforts. Hello? Your fruit do not match your efforts. I'm going to redeem love. I'm speaking the word. And then you have family members, friends that are mocking you and say, how come your God is not moving in your life? Somebody say frustration. And you can be like that. You know, you're believing God and believing God and believing God. And it seems like nothing is happening. This was the scenario. Hello? So Hannah did something. She was frustrated, but she decided to push the power. Hello? Now, when you study the case carefully, you begin to realize that there were two frustrations. There is one woman with a double portion, but her fruit do not match her anointing. They do not match her the grace in her life. Excuse me. But as you study it, you discover that there's also a heavenly frustration. God is frustrated. Why? Because the leadership over Hannah is corrupt. Hello? Eli the priest, he started to lose his sight. And when he lost his sight, he could no longer fulfill the priestly duty. And one of the responsibility of a priest, if you read Leviticus, God clearly said that the fire was never supposed to go out of the altar. Hello? And there's a law of fire in the scripture, which is a blueprint of revival. That's where I'm going with this. The fire started by God. It was supposed to be maintained by the priests. It was supposed to be used to start other fires. That's the picture of revival. Revival starts by God. We already established that this morning. But it's supposed to be maintained. That fire is never supposed to go sleeping. Because God's fire never sleeps. Come on. But it was clearly the responsibility of the priests to maintain the fire. And I'm here to tell you, it is your responsibility. God will set you on fire, but it is your responsibility to keep the fire of revival burning by making sure that you maintain your level of hunger. The level of your hunger will determine the level of your visitation. It is your responsibility to maintain that fire by maintaining the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. But when Eli did not maintain the fire, the move of God died. It's a sad commentary that there was no more fire on the altar. Hello? And the altar is a place of connection and disconnection. When you come to the altar, You disconnect from your past when you repent. And you connect with your future because God set you in a new path. And when there's no more altar activity, it robs people from experiencing the power of God. And today, in many churches, we don't do altar calls anymore. We don't want to get people offended. We don't give them a chance to get saved. We don't want to preach on certain topics. We don't want to be confrontational because that may trigger a cancel culture movement on us. So we try to be PC, politically correct. And as a result, the move of God is dead. There's no fire on the altar. And what happened next is that there was darkness in the temple. And when there was darkness in the temple, Eli's sons, the sons came in the temple and they were having sex with women that came in to bring the offering. So he could not control the things that he gave birth to. That is a picture of a lack of discipleship. He didn't refuse to correct them when he knew the dysfunction was going on in the house. So the move of God was dead. There was dysfunction in the church. There was darkness in the temple. There was no movement of power, of movement of fire. The revival was dead. The fire was dead. And God was frustrated. So there are two frustrations. There's an earthly frustration. One woman that is dissatisfied with her own condition. And she's frustrated. But on the other hand, we have a God that is frustrated because of corrupt leadership. The leadership has allowed the move of God to die. And God is a consuming fire. He wants to rekindle that fire. But the leaders were not willing. Eli was out of sight, out of light, and out of shape, and he fell down and broke his neck. That speaks of decapitation of leadership. God ordered a substitute. Now, he weaponized the circumstances of Hannah. Oh, don't write to Pastor Greg, Pastor Ed, and Pastor Sarah and say, I'm preaching bad doctrines. I'm not saying that God put sickness on her. I say he weaponized her circumstance. Just like Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God turned it into good. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the Lord is about to weaponize your circumstance. Come on, somebody. The enemy may have made it for evil, but God is going to turn it for good. Come on. Your stumbling block is going to turn into your stepping stone. The thing that was supposed to destroy you is what God is going to weaponize to bring forward his power, to bring forward his miracle, to bring forward his glory. And God is going to get the glory out of it. Shout glory. I said God is going to get the glory out of it. Come on, Penina, her competition was mocking her. Hey, 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 you got no kids? I got kids. I'm better than you. I got more than you. She was mocking her. But it came a time where heaven stepped into the situation and Hannah conceived. I don't know who I'm preaching to. God is about to turn glory. Better God, you impossible into possibilities. And there are people who are watching you. They said, you can be healed, can be married, can get out of debt. This ministry is over. They've said things, but watch God now. He's going to step into the situation. He's going to open the door. He's going to heal. He's going to open the heaven. He's going to release his power. He's going to release his fire. Come on, what heaven is pregnant with is about to be released. I came to prophesy. There's a move of God coming to Nanuet, New York, at a Redeemed Love. I see souls coming. I see people getting saved. I see new families joining this church. I see the wave of his power coming over this territory. And this church is going to be an epicenter where the power is going to move and be released in this territory. This is going to be a revival center. Come on, somebody. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times.
Shout glory three times. That's what I'm after. So Jesus said, he said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Flesh can only give birth to flesh. And spirit can only give birth to spirit. Hello? And to give birth, there's a womb. Hello? That means that if there's a womb in the flesh, there's a womb in the spirit. That means if you can conceive in the flesh, you can conceive in the spirit. And I want to prophesy, this church is pregnant. It's pregnant with the seed of heaven. And the power of God is going to move supernaturally over you, Pastor Ed, Pastor Sarah. The move of God is coming over you. The healing virtue of God is touching you. It's touching your back. It's touching your neck. It's touching your leg. It's touching your knees. There's a new level of energy and power. And Pastor Ed, if you're watching, it's coming over you. The power of God is moving supernaturally. I see a new grace for acceleration. Because there's a new one skin for a new one. And everything that God promised to Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, come on, the commitment of your spiritual father has become your call to reach the next generation, and it's going to flow through you and flow through the next generation, and God is going to do it. Hallelujah. He said he's not done with you. He's adding life to your years and years to your life. And I release the miraculous power of God from heaven. And I speak healing over your body. And I command every deficit of health to be filled by the glory of God and the power of God. And I decree and declare miracles, signs and wonders. Rise and be healed in the name of the Lord. Come on, I dare you to shout three times, glory, glory. What? Amen. My wife said the labor pain is not in vain. Hello? So she went from condition, somebody say from condition, to contraction. And so she had contraction when she gave birth. What was her condition? She was barren. She went from condition to contraction. Come on, somebody. But the bridge, don't miss it now, y'all. The bridge between her condition, which created frustration, that led her into contraction, was intercession. Hello? Condition, barren, with a double portion, couldn't have kids. She went into frustration. But then she stepped into intercession, and from intercession she went into contraction and gave birth to a miracle. Come on, this is how we do it. And when she went to the place of prayer, what she didn't realize, she was looking for a son, but God was looking for one prophet and two kings. Hello? She conceived a son and called him Samuel. The ass of the Lord. But it was Samuel that replaced Eli. He was the substitute. Hello? Let me just park my car just for us a little bit here. Listen, when you disobey God, God is merciful. God is full of grace. He is long-suffering. He has unconditional love for you. He's waiting on you. But there comes a time that if you continue in your ways, where God will order a substitute. Because Eli refused to change, God ordered a substitute. That's why you better write that book he's been telling you about. Come on. Do that thing, because if not, one day you're going to walk somewhere in a Christian bookstore where you're going to see your book with somebody else's name on it. This is what the Lord Mordecai said to Esther when she was hesitant to take a step of faith to help the people. She said, Mordecai said to her, who knows if you came into the kingdom for such a time as this? Hello? If you do not help us, salvation will come from somewhere else. I'm tickled sometimes when I hear people say, I'm so important in this church. If I leave this church needs me. If I leave. Thank you for your support. Be careful. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Hello? And the gates of hell shall not prevail. If you want to leave to punish the church, guess what? God is going to order a substitute. But you can fire your substitute. Hello? Somebody shout, substitute? You are fired. Hey, yes, 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 yes. Fire your substitute by obeying God. Come on. Just repent. Get out of there. Start to obey God. And that's how you fire your substitute. But if you don't repent, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, God will order a substitute. Come on. God will raise someone else. God will raise somebody else to do what you refuse to do. To give the way you refuse to give. Come on. To help the way you refuse to help. To do what you refuse to do. God will raise somebody else. And that's exactly what happened. She was looking for a son, but God was looking for one prophet and two kings. It was Samuel that asked of the Lord with apostolic and prophetic jurisdiction. The Bible says, from Dan to Beersheba, from the north to the south, none of his words fell to the ground. He was powerful. And I'm telling you that what God is about to do through you, through this church, will have apostolic and prophetic jurisdiction. God built this church here, and can no man move this church or shut this church down. Come on, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, they are geographical and spiritual boundary, and the glory of God is established in this house. Come on, somebody. What God is doing in your life, no one is going to be able to move it. Oh, God is setting boundaries in your life, financially, spiritually, relationally, in your family, as you walk with Him from the north to the south, from the east to the west. God has you established, and no one is going to be able to move you out of your assignment as long as you stay under His hand. Shout glory three times. Samuel had apostolic and prophetic jurisdiction. And it was Samuel that replaced Eli. It was Samuel that pioneered Israel into a new realm of revelation. Hello? He brought a new dispensation. They never had a king before. He anointed the first king. He pioneered a generation into a place of revelation. In this season, God is going to open your eyes. You're going to see and you're going to hear a new sound, a new design for your life, a new intelligent design. He's going to release strategy and give you words that are going to propel you to a place where you've never been before. And God is going to do things you've never seen before. I dare you to shout glory three times. Saul messed up. Hello? Samuel's ministry was still kicking strong. And Samuel anointed David. Come on. She was looking for a prophet. But God was looking. She was looking for a son, but God was looking for one prophet and two kings. This is why the name of this message is called, It is Bigger Than You. What God wants to do with this church is bigger than this church. I said it is bigger. It is bigger. Take the limits of God. I say it is bigger than this church. Come on, the Lord is expanding his kingdom. Glory be to God. He's going to expand this influence, the influence of his kingdom. He's going to expand the horizon of this church. What God wants to do with your life is bigger than you. Some of you are like, Lord, heal me. Lord, give me a husband. Lord, open the door. It's bigger than that. She was looking for a son, but God was looking for a prophet. You're looking for a healing or a miracle, but God has a purpose. Come on. He's going to use you to impact your family, to impact your city, to impact your generation. The thing that came out of her was a move of God that transcended her need, that transcended her family, that impacted her community, impacted her city, impacted her nation, impacted this generation and the next generation and the next generation. What God is going to do in your life will have an exponential effect. Come on. It's going to move beyond you. It's going to move through you, ahead of you, beyond you, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. The power of God is going to move supernaturally. I dare you to shout glory 3 times. How did she do it? Somebody shout prayer. I love to teach on prayer. I have a great book on prayer there. How did she do it? Prayer. The scripture said she went to the temple year after. How long? So in a year, you have days, you have weeks, you have months. Hello? She went year. How long are you supposed to push the power? Are you getting it? Year after year until you see the power of limitations broken over your body, over your finances, or whatever you're believing God for. Hello? So Luke 18, we're landing the airplane. He said, man always ought to pray without oligo cycles, without fainting, without becoming small. On the inside, where is the first place where you lose your spiritual battle? Is on the inside. Hello? Somebody say inward strength. But where do you get that strength? It's in prayer. Hello? If you're fainting, you're not praying. If you're oligo cycles, you're not praying. But if you're praying, you're not going to faint. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But there's a sustaining power. Power of the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Romans 8:26. Well, we don't know how to pray because of our weakness. Weakness in the Greek, asthenia, infirmity. Also, the inability to produce result. The Spirit will help. Sonante labana, sonante labano in the Greek. The Spirit will come together with us against our inability to produce result. Have you ever played a game called a tug of war and an opponent was stronger than you, or the other team was stronger and they were getting you over the cross line, and then a big black Holy Ghost like me to come on the side and sonante labano, come together with you against your opponent. That's the idea. When I say black Holy Ghost, I'm just illustrating. That's the spiritual idea, that you're struggling, trying to push the power. You're struggling believing God for your miracle. You're struggling in prayer. You're struggling in your faith. It looks like this thing got the best of you. It's pulling you down. Oh, but the Holy Ghost will soon untail labano. He will come together with you against your own inability to produce results. All of a sudden, you get more strength to pray. All of a sudden, You get more strength to push. All of a sudden, you're crossing over. All of a sudden, you're getting healed. All of a sudden, you're getting your breakthrough. And after years of struggling supernaturally, something takes place. The Holy Ghost went inside and refused to let you oligocycles. Oh, faint and lose heart. The power came inside and helped you and gave you a miracle. Pray in tongues right now if you can pray in tongues. Shumbrekete sumbratata. Kababurish kimbronde. The devil doesn't want you to pray in tongues because that's where the strength is. Mambrote shipa. Kadabundish kimbro. Zimbrote tekesa. What's happening? You're getting strong on the inside. Jude said, you're getting built in your almost in your most inner faith. Your spirit man is getting built up when you pray in the pray rabasunde tekebara. Ribomboskim brandeske. Kambrandeskunte teke. Hallelujah. 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 Rivers of the supernatural. I proclaim rivers of the supernatural, rivers of the spirit out of your belly shall flow rivers. There's a river flowing. It's flowing now. It's going to flow here. It's going to flow in you and through you. And as you leave this place tonight, something is happening. The power of God is moving in you. The river is flowing. Hallelujah. Sambrete, metekuse, palakus kivrambote se, andika brundis kimba. Don't be ashamed to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the design of the enemy to make you weak on the inside. Zimbrote skepa, matikarus kimbrandeske. Fresh fire, Holy Ghost fire, fresh fire, fresh rivers. Zumbrinde, Makus Kembrende, Zumbreke se, Hambres ketete, Makus kende se, Ambundis kimba, Makuntitikere baskunde, ha ha ha, Mambaskumbro, Zinderide, He's strengthening you, He's strengthening you, He's moving, hallelujah. In your families, you've been praying for members of the families that have gone the wrong way. The Lord is hearing your prayers. He's sending laborers on their ways. Hallelujah. That something is going to turn. I see the tables turning. The power of God. Moshkimbre. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Zimbrose. Rishkonde. Zumbrekesa. You will conceive it in prayer. And birth it in prayer. Hallelujah. Zumbrese. Matoskete tothe, Zimbrasa. He's putting a new fire in you. Hallelujah. A new fire in you. You can feel it in your spirit right now. He's refueling your tank. You're going from this place charged by his spirit. The rivers of God flowing through you. Zumbre. Matakuse palandusa. Zimbako saraba. He has seen you in the secret place. As you pray and saw his face, as you saw his face, he saw you in the secret place. He's going to reward you publicly. Mambruski sambra. So pray. 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 Zumbrese. Kuriskunda. You've been consistent and faithful. Hallelujah. But there's a second wind. There's a second wind. There's a second wind. You're going to go faster. Hey, sombre. Ruskumbati. Maraskunta. Rishkonda. Ipaskundete. Yeskambro sepalando. Hallelujah. It's a new chapter. Hallelujah. I hear the word, turn the page. It's not that the old chapter was bad, but in this season, God is doing a new thing. And the exciting thing about it is that you and him are going to ride it together. Hey, sombre se. Riskomba. Makusela. Rishko Baba. Rishko. Pray. 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 Shumbre sonda. Mapute sikure basa. Irisku. I hear the word rescue. Help is on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help is on the way. He's opening new doors. He's leading you across the way. Crooked paths are going to be made straight. This is the season to plow forward, to hold on to His word. The power of God is moving supernaturally, leading you and guiding you through this season. Jumbresa, Kirombasa, hallelujah. It's been a journey with many ups and downs, but the Lord brought you through. It's not over yet. It was preparation. It's not, and now God has you in a new place. Get ready. You're going to be an instrument in His hand to be a witness to people about the power and the goodness of God. Come on. Pray. 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 Jumbrese. Makaturese. Mambro sikapande. Zundeteteke. Ambuski tarabasa. Hallelujah. The seed that have been sown, the years of faithfulness. Glory be to God. The harvest is coming. Glory be to God. Where there's limitation, there's going to be a breakthrough. Hallelujah. A little struggle here on the left and on the right, but God is knocking down walls of limitations. You're coming into a new place of significance, significant breakthrough. Come on, raise your hands and worship. Raise your hands and worship. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the power is moving in this place. As you push the power, the Lord is moving supernaturally. There's an anointing. We're just getting started. I'm telling you, folks, this is only the first night. We're getting started. We're digging those wells. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Just stand up tonight and raise your hands. Come on, stand up. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're raising up carriers of your glory, carriers of your power, people that are going to push against the odds. In the name of Jesus, glory be to God. I'm going to give an altar call tonight. This is a moment where the Lord, just like Hannah, God wants to use you. This morning I talk about the 2%. Those people who will say, yes, Lord, I want to be part of the 2%. I'm not going to be part of the status quo. I am going to push through limits. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is coming over you tonight. Before we do that, I want to make sure that everybody is saved. If you're watching online, knowing how to swim does not make you a fish. And being a church member does not make you a child of God. Being a good person does not make you a child of God. To be a fish, you must be created by God as a fish. To be a child of God, you must be born again. You must repent from your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you're here tonight. You never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Or maybe you're here tonight. You asked Jesus to come in your heart, but you're not living right. Or maybe you're here today. You're not sure that if you die tonight, you'll go to heaven. You don't have eternal security. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you said, I'm one of those three conditions and I want to get right with God. As everybody has their eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand where you are. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Keep your hands up. Put your hands down. Now just say this with me, everybody. You can open your eyes. Say this with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I repent for my sins. And I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I receive the miracle of transformation. Transformation in my mind, in my heart, in my life. I will never be the same. Never, never again. In Jesus' name, amen.